The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Ibrahim Kwakin.
In the headlines, VRA has up to tomorrow to settle its indebtedness to NGAS. NAGRAD calls off intended strike. Ghana commits to fighting piracy. Global Hand Washing Day being marked today. And U.S. troops to be deployed in Cameroon to support surveillance on Boko Haram. But first, a summary with Ibrahim Kwakin.
NGAS has given VRA and the government of Ghana up to tomorrow to settle their indebtedness to the company. Managing Director of the West Africa Gas Pipeline, WAPCO, Walter Perez, who disclosed this at a news conference in Accra, said the company has no option but to go with the directive of NGAS to cut supply of gas due to VRA's indebtedness of $181 million to WAPCO. NAGRAT has called off its intended strike after a meeting with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. Chief Executive of the Commission, George Smith Graham, who announced this on Behind the News, says allowances and other monies due NAGRAT have been paid. President John Mahama says Ghana is prepared to share information through the use of information communication technology to help ECOWAS fight piracy and maritime crimes. He said Ghana has adopted a vessel information tracking and management system to monitor activities of vessels in the country's territorial waters. President Mahama says this when the Finland ambassador to Ghana, Pejo Sumela Chaudhry, presented her letters of credence at the Flagstaff House in Accra. And President Barack Obama is sending U.S. military personnel to Cameroon to conduct airborne surveillance of Boko Haram militants. According to a U.S. official, the troops were invited by Cameroon's government as part of a larger international effort to stop the spread of violent extremists in West Africa.
CBC mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
Now the news in detail. NGAS has given the VRA and the government of Ghana up to Friday to settle their indebtedness to the company. The managing director of the West Africa Gas Pipeline, WAPCO, Walter Perez, at a news conference in Accra yesterday, said the company has no option but to go with the directive of NGAS to cut the supply of gas due to VRA's indebtedness of $181 million to WAPCO. Currently, NGAS has reduced the gas it supplies to the West Africa Gas Pipeline from 100 million cubic feet to 95 million cubic feet ahead of the total cutoff on Friday. George Gigi has more.
Since August last year, National Gas and Pipeline Related Transportation Services to the Volta River Authority, VRA, amounted to $231 million. Of the amount, VRA paid only $50 million. It therefore owes WAPCO and other parties, including Nigerian Gas, $181 million. The managing director of WAPCO, Walter Perez, at a news conference in Accra said the indebtedness of VRA to the company and gas, the supply of the gas from Nigeria, will be cut to WAPCO, which is the transporter to Ghana. He said indebtedness to the company and the threat are not new to the management of the public utility regulatory company, related ministries, and even the government. Mr. Perez explains the effect of stoppage of the gas supply.
WAPCO management is keenly aware and acutely sensitive to the effect that this directive from NGAS could have on power generation in Ghana. We find it unfortunate that the VRA debt situation has been allowed to deteriorate to the point where it now jeopardizes WAPCO's very existence as a company. And in doing so, it also jeopardizes the only viable option of providing sufficient on-time offtake assurance for Ghana's TEN and Sankofa developments.
Though Ghana owns shares in WAPCO in the form of collateral, it cannot be used as security for payment. According to the managing director of the company, other members along the value chain are not in debt. Mr. Perez said the company is considering other options like placing security requirements and paying before supply to avert what the company is going through now.
Joyce Jeje reporting.
A former chief executive of the VRA, Dr. Charles Rekubrube, says privatizing ECG should not be the issue on the discussion table. He said the problems of the ECG must be blamed on interference from successive governments. Dr. Brube told Agatha Samon Behind the News that instead of ECG being independent to carry out its mandate, it takes instructions on a day-to-day basis on how to execute its mandate. He suggested that ECG should be put on the stock market for Ghanaians to own a share in the company.
ECG is now subjected to almost 30 power generation agreements. Can we expect a company whose focus has been so diverted to give of its best as a distributor? So there's a conversation to be had in this country. Don't blame the management of EC. Let's not think that the best thing for us to do is to go and sell the family heirloom because we are trying to blame people. So what I've suggested is that if we want EC to remain in Ghanaian hands, let's put it in the stock market and let every Ghanaian go and buy a piece of EC. We need to actually take it away from government interference. Keep the ownership. And then if we feel that after 60 years of independence, a white man is a better manager than a black man, by all means, bring them in. But let's separate ownership from the management.
If the state keeps announcements, isn't that akin to ECG being independent and operating as a private entity?
There is no credible case that says that the Ghanaian is incapable of managing ECG. Because after all, the private sector manager you are bringing to manage, they make two conditions. All that government debt must be paid before they come. Secondly, all that saddling of ECG with generation responsibilities must be taken off. So if that is the condition for them to come, but offer the same condition to Ghanaian management and Ghanaian ownership. The case for privatization as a means to better management, I think, is still to be made. It needs to be examined.
Dr. Charles Rekubrube does not believe that consumers are not paying enough for the services rendered by ECG.
The state must provide us with the service. It doesn't have to own it or manage it. And you can make or take and make your choice.
So if government takes its hands off ECG, would that make ECG efficient?
Well, at least we can then see whether it's the people who are incompetent or is interference. At the moment, I think that the people don't have a happy health term because somebody is sitting in a ministry or some other place trying to dictate. When they cut off the polytechnics of Kumasi and Koforidua, you know what happened? They found money to go and buy fuel and put it in their generators. Why didn't they pay that money to ECG to stay on the national grid?
There is an argument that ECG is only a pawn in the whole power crisis. I mean, if it does not receive power from...
It's not an argument, it's a fact. If the generators don't produce enough power, ECG cannot share inadequate power. We like paying customers. Our contact with the power sector is ECG. So we blame all our problems on ECG. But the fact is that the doomsa is not due to ECG's inefficiency. The doomsa is due to the fact that VRA and other generators are not producing enough.
That was the former chief executive of the VRA, Dr. Charles Rekubrube. Alfred Ogbami of the Ghana Gas Company said that Turbo Gas is not capable of slipping in if Nigeria gas supply to Ghana has been threatened.
Certainly not. The national demand for gas is higher than that of Nigerian gas and higher than that of Ghana gas combined. However, a consistent flow or supply from Ghana gas and Nigerian gas should also be enough to ensure the current situation where all the plants work at optimum capacity. A shortfall or deficit in the energy supply as a result of a number of things, including the low level of water in our consumer dam, and therefore the administration where, for example, the dam is not able to get us optimally what is issued. Again, it's the same with buoy and a number of other factors. So because we don't have an optimum situation across both, certainly your trouble will not be enough to meet the national demand. As I speak to you, the Nigerian gas has a supply now, so they'll be supplying not to Ghana gas because we don't have any relations whatsoever with them. They don't supply gas to us, but they'll be supplying gas to the VRA for some time.
Alfred Ogbami is the PR of the Ghana Gas Company.
On education, NAGRAT has called off its intended strike after a meeting with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission yesterday. Chief Executive of the Commission, George Smith Graham, who announced this on Behind the News, explained what went into the final agreement.
We've been able to reach an agreement on each one of them so that we can resolve all the issues as we move forward.
Are you able to tell us the agreement, Rich, especially on the allowances and arrears?
Now, immediately it came to our notice and I called for the meeting. It got to our attention that in April, Minister of Finance had already issued a letter for the payment of the allowances, and the letter was with the Bank of Ghana. So immediately we got copies of the letter that has been issued. It has gone through the Controller and Accountant General Department, and it was with the Bank of Ghana. But it appears that when it was issued, the follow-up was not that strong. So all we did was to try our best to facilitate the release of the money from the Bank of Ghana, which was done. And so immediately the monies were released. Ghana Education Service sent the monies to the districts for the payment of these allowances to the teachers.
You just heard the Chief Executive of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, George Smith Graham.
The Omahin of the Sikato Traditional Area, Nana Kobin Nketiah, has called on educational institutions to use books written by Ghanaians to teach for the youth to understand issues around them. He said books authored by local people on Ghanaian culture, values and morals, telling the story about who Ghanaians are, as the people must be encouraged by all. Domahi made the appeal during a book launch in Accra, offered by the Minister of Education, Professor Nana Jenupukwajiman, titled, Who Told the Most Incredible Story?
One of the things some of us believe in is that there's a whole literature out there that if we talk our investors with, it will make a change in the way we think. The problem with Africa has been the way we think. And some of us think that there might not be enough literature out there that can really teach us about ourselves. 99 or 95% of the books that we use come from a particular culture. And at the end of the day, the books affect our minds. And just as I always say, you're young, then you start reading Pussycat, Pussycat, Pussycat. And then all of us want to go to England to go and shake the hands of the Queen. What have I got to do with that? Nothing, except the language that was imposed on me. But now we are using that language to also express ourselves because we don't have any option at the moment. And I think that one of the most beautiful things that I've ever seen is listen to my good daughter, Professor Nana Opokwajiman. I like dropping the Jane. Professor Nana Opokwajiman, listen to her on various occasions. I know the thoughts that go into her mind and so on. And I feel sad. Nana, I must confess that you're a minister. But you still see her as a politician. I don't. And when the dance was going on, I said, oh my God, Ghana is a beautiful place. If only we didn't have the politicians.
Professor Nana Jenupukwajiman said her aim is to simplify thousands of Ghanaian stories in about 45 stories to read and understand.
When I started, I didn't even have in mind writing a book. I was just satisfied getting stories for my children and encouraging them to listen, to understand, to ask questions, to learn to read. So that was the first motivation. And then, of course, I extended it to my students too. So they also need to read, they need to learn, they need to understand. And if we can read things that are very close to us, understanding is easier. And that is what learning should be. Learning should be joyful. It shouldn't be painful. Sometimes it is because the medium through which we are being taught is difficult for us. And the images and the items in the text are difficult for us to understand. For example, if you ask most of the learners at the SHS, if you ask them in English, in the English subject, what is it that their greatest difficulty is? A lot of them talk about summary, and you want to understand why, and comprehension. So you need to see that is stopping them from performing well indeed. And a lot has to do with the language itself. It has to do with the vocabulary. It has to do with things that they cannot directly relate to. So by saying that those students haven't done well, we are the ones who haven't done well. We have not been able to meet them. And if we are able to meet them, they will do well.
Minister of Education, Professor Nana Jane Opoku-Ajiman. And now back to our earlier story on NGAS. We have the PR of Power Ministry, Kweku Sifa Johnson. Mr. Johnson, you're welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm in public affairs.
Right. Now,
Kweku Sifa Johnson.
Kweku Sifa
Johnson.
Right. Now, we are told tomorrow is the deadline for the settlement of the debt owed NGAS. And we are told this to the tune of about $181 million. But fortunately, we are told there is a delegation to Nigeria. Can you confirm that in the first place? And then secondly, tell us what the team is going to do in Nigeria.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is indeed true that a high-powered gas delegation actually has been sent by His Excellency the President of the Republic of Ghana, left Accra last night for Nigeria to negotiate and to ensure that we get good understanding from the Republic of Ghana.
Right. But why did we have to wait for these long for taking such an initiative, $181, knowing very well, $181 million, knowing very well that we had a time frame to settle the debt to Nigeria?
Yeah, I don't think that they just woke up one morning to go to Nigeria. The supply has been coming and payment has been going on. It is just that, you know, in business transactions, sometimes some of these things happen. So let's just all pray as a nation that the team that has gone will come back with some good results for all of us.
Mr. Johnson, are you going to beg once again, or you are going at least with some, with a part of the money?
Well, as you can tell, I'm in Ghana, I'm not part of the delegation. I'm sure it's gone with some proposals from government, and I pray that it works out well for us.
So are you sure of a positive outcome of this meeting?
I want to believe that come the deadline, Ghana will continue to get gas supply from Nigeria.
in the event you are not able to convince our Nigerian IMM brothers, what plans do you have in place to ensure that we don't plunge the country into doing so yet again?
Well, this that supply from Nigeria actually helps us, you know, but then in the absence of that, I'm praying that it doesn't get to that whatever happens, there will be some way out for us.
Right, so what message are you giving to Ghanaians? Because people...
I want to assure Ghanaians that they should keep their fingers crossed that will not come to that situation where Nigerian guys will cast a fight for us.
Right, we'd want to thank you very much, Mr. Johnson. That was the PR of Power Ministry, Kwaku Johnson.
We move on to other stories. President John Mahama says Ghana is prepared to share information through the use of information communication technology to help ECOWAS fight piracy and maritime crimes. He said Ghana has adopted the Vessel Information Tracking and Management System to monitor activities of vessels in the country's territorial waters. President Mahama said this when the Finland ambassador to Ghana, Pejo Somela Chaudhry, presented her letters of credence at the Flagstaff House in Accra. She said Ghana has taken giant steps in recent years to become a model in many ways, said the airport.
Though Ms. Somela Chaudhry is resident in Abuja, Nigeria, President Mahama was of the firm belief that the distance would not be a barrier but a bridge to enhance relations between Ghana and Finland. He stressed the need to expand trade and investment relations between the two nations. Ms. Somela Chaudhry promised to do her best to further deepen the contact and dialogue between the government and people of Ghana and Finland. Also at the Flagstaff House to present his letters of credence was Dr. Gabor Ternak of Hungary. President Mahama recounted the fruitful relations that have existed between the two countries since 1961, which has created educational opportunities for many Ghanaians, including Foreign Minister Hanna Tete.
Ghana's relations with Hungary have been historic, and we're particularly close at the time of our first republic, and we established diplomatic relations as far back as 1961. Since then, these relations have been fruitful for both countries, resulting especially in the granting of scholarships at different times to many Ghanaians to study in Hungary, especially in critical areas of medicine, engineering and sciences, which are the areas that need more trained personnel in. And so there are many medical doctors working in Ghana who were trained in Hungary. There are others too in different sectors of the. I'm very happy to hear that Hungary has decided to reopen its embassy here in Ghana. We hope that we'll be seeing you as often as possible until the embassy is officially open sometime next year.
Dr. Ternak is also based in Abuja, Nigeria. Seti here, reporting for Radio Ghana.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. VRA has up to tomorrow to settle its indebtedness to end gas. NAGAT calls off intended strike. Ghana commits to fighting piracy. Global Hand Washing Day being marked today. And U.S. troops to be deployed in Cameroon to support surveillance on Boko Haram. We are back after the break.
Welcome back. The minority caucus in Parliament has threatened to use legal and parliamentary procedures to force the finance minister and government to do the right things when it comes to financial administration of the state. According to the caucus, the decision taken by the government to engage the IMF for an extended credit facility, ECF, without parliamentary approval violated Article 181 of the Constitution. Deputy Ranking Member of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Finance and MP for New Jabin South, Dr. Mark Isibe Yabua, disclosed this at the news conference in Parliament.
The government is in violation of the Constitution. We intend to use all parliamentary and legal options available to us in the coming week to ensure that the laws of the land are respected, to hold the minister before the House for him to tell us why he does not require parliamentary approval. As if by coincidence, around the same period of our press engagements, the IMF issued its country report that reviewed the extended credit facility arrangement. From the review, it must be underscored that the performance criterion on the ceiling of gross credit to government by the Bank of Ghana was missed. Furthermore, indicative targets on inflation and social spending were also met. Most importantly, three key issues emerged from the IMF review, which were not previously known. The review from the IMF indicated that the Bank of Ghana had paid dividends to government amounting to 0.4% of GDP. That would be about 500 million Ghana cedis. Since this transfer was unanticipated, it has led to a larger than program total revenue for 2015. The spending of this unanticipated inflow has not been approved by Parliament. Meantime, the government plans to use up to half of the proposed Bank of Ghana dividend to cover the damage of the June 2015 flood disaster. That
you just heard Deputy Ranking Member of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Finance and MP for New Jaben South, Dr. Mark Isidiyeboah.
The Member of Parliament for Swami and Minority Leader in Parliament, Osei Chimen Sabunzu, has challenged the former rector of Gimpa, Professor Stephen Adai, to substantiate his corruption allegations against MPs. He said Professor Adai should be ready to provide evidence before the Parliamentary Privileges Committee. Professor Adai 3 days ago alleged that some parliamentarians take money before passing some crucial bills into law. Mr. Chimen Sabunzu at a news conference described the professor's comments as outrageous.
First, he referred to the crafting of the Gimpa Act. I was telling him that about 50% of the amendments that we had for that act, I proposed. And you should ask him whether I took anything from him before doing that, putting it in that shape for him. I think some statements are outrageous. And if an academic talks that to me, then this country is in trouble. I'm not saying that we cannot see or discover any bad eggs in Parliament. I will not say so. Parliament represents the cross-section of Ghanaian society. We may perhaps see people who are, edged on by monetary considerations to be in Parliament. Some people come, you want to use Parliament as a stepping stone to be made ministers, and so on and so forth. He doesn't get it, he's disappointed, and he thinks that corners must be cut, and so on and so forth. There is the possibility that you may have people in Parliament who are corrupt. Now, if you say that you are emphatic that there are corrupt people in Parliament, I would urge that rather, to come with evidence. I'm saying so because of 1, 2, 3 that are saying. Otherwise, you don't talk in Parliament.
MP for Swami Minority Leader in Parliament, Osei Chimen Sabunzu.
Ghana today joins the rest of the world to observe Global Handwashing Day, the day celebrated annually to raise awareness on the benefits of washing hands with soap and promote hygienic behavior among people. This year's theme is Raise a Hand for Hygiene, a statement from the Community Water and Sanitation Agency, CWSA, urges Ghanaians to actively participate in observing the day since it is crucial in helping to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals on Hygiene. It says the day will be an opportunity to interact with a cross-section of the public on sustainable behavioral change in practicing hand-washing with soap. As part of activities to mark the day, the CWSA will join other stakeholders and people of Tamale in the northern region for a special program, which starts at 9 a.m. today. And President Barack Obama is sending U.S. military personnel to Cameroon to conduct airborne surveillance of Boko Haram militants. According to a U.S. official, the troops were invited by Cameroon's government as part of a larger international effort to stop the spread of violent extremists in West Africa.
And now, finally, let's look at some of the stories that made the headlines. As VRA's ultimatum to settle its indebtedness to NGAF ends tomorrow, a government delegation is in Nigeria for negotiations to this effect. PR of the Energy Ministry, Kwaku Cesar-Johnson, told Radio Ghana he is hopeful of a positive result. And Nagrat has called off his intended strike after a meeting with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. Chief Executive of the Commission, John Smith Graham, announced this on Behind the News.